الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in كشف الشبهات, revealing the doubts by the great Imam الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. And we have in our previous classes discussing a great misconception and misunderstanding that some people who ascribe to al-Islam, they have, yet they fall in to shirk and associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever they are brought up about this affair, and they're advised and clarified that which they had fallen into is clear disbelief and shirk, they present a number of different misconceptions and doubts. And from that is, how could you declare us to be disbelievers whenever we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and we pray and we fast and we make the pilgrimage? And we have seen the detailed response to this doubt in a number of classes. Walillahi alhamd, 7 different responses specifically, and many of them with great detail, clarifying the fact that there's a consensus that if a person, he were to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one aspect and then to deny him in another, then he would disbelieve even if he were to perform the actions. And this is something that the four madhahib, they have agreed about. We have seen that the one who establishes the prayer yet he believes it's not an obligation, then he's not a Muslim. Or likewise, the one who fasts but he believes it's not an obligation, then he's not a Muslim. And the one who denies the obligation of one of these sacred rites of al-Islam, then this is a means for his Islam to be invalidated. And likewise, if someone were to curse Allah, to curse the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he said La ilaha illallah all day long, it will not benefit him until he repents. Because cursing Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear disbelief. It's clear disbelief, and actions do not benefit a person upon disbelief. So we have seen this before with a number of clear answers. At the end of this discussion here, the author, he says, and we read it again so that we can pay attention and realize the great benefit of that which we have discussed. فَتَأَمَّلْ هَذِهِ شُبْهَةً وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُمْ تُكَفِّرُونَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَنَاسًا يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَيُصَلُّونَ وَيُصُومُونَ وَيُحُجُّونَ ثُمَّ تَأَمَّلْ جَوَابَهَا فإنه من أنفع ما في هذه الأوراق فإنه من أنفع ما في هذه الأوراق. The author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, closing this discussion, ponder and reflect and be sincere. Ponder and reflect and think deeply about this doubt and misconception that they have. And it is that they say, you're declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers, people who bear witness to La ilaha illallah, and people who establish the salah, and they establish the fast, and they make the pilgrimage. And then you must ponder and reflect likewise, again, and be sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal in that pondering, and that reflecting, and that thinking deeply about this affair. Think deeply about the response that has preceded. The response that has preceded, because indeed it's from the most beneficial. It's from the most beneficial thing found in these pages here. From the most beneficial of what that which is found in these pages here. So we have seen examples of individuals who accepted Islam with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they prayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also after that they prayed along with the companions, and then they raised a man to the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and claimed that he was a prophet like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were Banu Hanifa. And the companions declared them to be disbelievers whenever they claimed that Musaylimah al-Kadhab, he was a prophet and he received prophethood, along with the fact that they say La ilaha illallah, along with the fact that they say Muhammad Rasulullah, along with the fact that they established the adhan in their neighborhoods and they established the prayer 5 times a day and they fast and give charity. The companions declared them to be disbelievers along with all of that and fought them to death, and fought them to death or to repentance. So this is one example. And likewise, the companions of Ali, those individuals who claimed that he was the ilah, and then he burned them. He burned them alive. And the companions, they had a consensus that they should be dealt with, and that they had committed apostasy, and that they should be executed, but they disagreed with the manner. But the point is now that these were individuals who were praying along with Ali radiallahu anhu, stating the shahadatain, and praying along with the believers. Yet they had raised Ali to the status of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this manner, they had disbelieved, and their testimony did not benefit them whatsoever. So there's so many examples we have seen how a Muslim, he may apostate and leave the religion, waliyadhu billah. And this is something that's very clear. And the form of dhahib is well understood in that great chapter, Babu Hukum al-Murtad, the chapter with regards to the ruling of the one who apostates. So this is what has proceeded. Now we continue reading what the author is mentioning, and he says, and this is in reality the eighth response to that which has proceeded. Again, discussing the previous doubt even in more detail. So the response to that which is coming now is the same response as before, along with the new responses here. So he says, وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا, and from the evidence of this likewise, also مَحَكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that which Allah has mentioned about the children of Israel, مَعَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ وَإِلْمِهِمْ وَصَلَاحِهِمْ, along with the fact that they are Muslims, and along with the fact that they're people of knowledge and that they are righteous and pious. And in general, the followers of Musa in the time of Musa alayhi salam, they were people of knowledge and they were people who were following a prophet. Banu Israel, they were the companions of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They were following him and learning from him, and they were worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. They're stating, La ilaha illallah wa Musa Rasulullah. They're declaring the shahadatain, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Musa, he's the messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they're the Muslims of their day, and they're the righteous and pious of their day, and they're the people of knowledge of their day. And Allah, he mentioned their story in the book in many different circumstances and situations. And from that is that which the author is referring to. أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لِمُوسَى, that they said to Musa, Banu Israel, the children of Israel, they said to Musa, اِجْعَلَنَا إِلَهًا, make for us a god, an object of worship. اِجْعَلَنَا إِلَهًا, make for us an ilah, make for us an ilah, set up for us a god or an idol that we can worship. وَقَالُوا أُنَاسٌ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, and likewise later, individuals from the companions, رضي الله عنهم, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said to the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجعلنا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. And the companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, make for us a tree, ذات أنواط, and a tree that we can hang our weapons on, just like they have a tree hanging their weapons on. فحلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا مثل قول بني إسرائيل لموسى عليه السلام. And at this time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he swore by Allah that what they're saying is just like what the children of Israel, they said to Musa alayhi salam, اجعلنا إلها, make for us an ilah, make for us a god, an object of worship, a god, an object of worship. That which the author he's referring to, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is found in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. That which the author he's referring to is mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise found in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to the story of the children of Israel in this circumstance, Allah he mentioned in his book, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحَرِ فَأَتَوْ عَلَى قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَى أَسْنَامٍ لَهُمْ فَآتَوْا عَلَى قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَى أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى جَعَلَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةٌ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. And we brought the children of Israel to safety across the sea, after facing Fir'aun in that manner that is well known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought Banu Israel safely across the sea. And they came upon a people who were devoted to some of their idols in worship. And they said, O Musa, make for us an ilah as they have an aliha. Make for us an ilah as they have aliha. So Allah, he mentioned that whenever they came across the sea, فَأَتَوْ عَلَى قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَى أَسْنَامِ اللَّهُمْ, they came to some people making al-uquf. Al-uquf is like al-i'tikaf. This is whenever a person who remain in a particular place or with a particular thing in devotion for some time. So they came to some people, they had objects of worship that they're devoting themselves to, and they're making al-ukuf, and they're making devotion and worship and remaining there for some time in humbleness and servitude. So these people here, this was their action. They're in devotion, remaining in this place with their gods in this manner, making al-ukuf, making al-ukuf, which is a type of devotion and worship. Whenever a person, he will leave what he's doing and engage himself in worship with the thing that is beloved to him and that he's devoted to. So they said, oh Musa, whenever they seen this, they said, oh Musa, make for us an ilah like they have. Aliha, ij'al lana ilahan kama lahum aliha. They said, whenever they saw this, they saw them in this manner, they wanted to be like them. They thought they were upon a good way. They had a misunderstanding in this affair. And they requested from Musa to make for them an object of worship like they have objects of worship. So at this time, Musa alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجَهَلُونَ. He said, indeed, verily, you are people who do not know. You are people who are ignorant, meaning ignorant of the majesty and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and ignorant likewise of what is upon you, and from the obligation of worshiping Allah alone with no partners. And they had a misconception, although they are people of Tawheed. They are people who are stating the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. Yet they still had this misconception, and they are deceived by that which they seen from some of the disbelievers and their methodology of worship. So Musa alayhi salam, he mentioned after this, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ مُتَبَّرُ مَا هُمْ فِيهِ وَبَاطِلُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That indeed these individuals here, these people, these pagans, these disbelievers, verily, these people will be destroyed for what they are doing. These people will be destroyed for that which they are engaged in from worshipping idols, and that which they are doing is vain and falsehood. قَالَ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِيكُمْ إِلَٰهًا وَهُوَ فَضَّلَكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Then he said to them, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, shall I seek for you an ilah, another God besides Allah? Should I look for another God besides Allah for you to worship? And he has given you superiority over mankind. And in those days, Allah Azza wa Jal had favored them, and they were from the best of mankind. So this is the story that the Shaykh is referring to with regards to Bani Israel. They had seen these people in devotion to idols, and they requested the same thing. That Musa should set up for them a similar situation where they can do the same thing, So we have seen in our previous class that apostasy, it occurs in several ways. One way is by way of statement, and another way is by way of action. Another way is by way of creed, and another way is by way of doubt. Statements that are absolutely contrary to al-Islam, or actions that are absolutely contrary to al-Islam, or a creed that is absolutely contrary to al-Islam, or a doubt that is absolutely contrary to al-Islam. In this manner, a Muslim, he would leave Islam, waliyadhu billah, if he made a statement like cursing Allah. This is contrary to al-Islam in entirety, in the absolute manner, invalidating the religion from the very foundation, to curse Allah, or to curse the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to curse the deen of Allah and the likes like this, or to mock something in the religion. This is disbelief, and it occurs with speech. And likewise actions, like for example, someone to prostrate before an idol, or for someone to prostrate before an idol, or for someone to make al-i'tikaf, seeking nearness to idols or something other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So here we have an action. These mushrikun, they're performing al-ruquf. Lahum asnamun ya'kufuna alayha. They have asnam, they have idols, they have objects of worship, aliha, that they want to draw near to, and they're devoting themselves to these idols by cutting themselves off from the world around them and dedicating themselves to them in this manner. So that which these mushrikum are performing is an action, and that which Banu Israel, they're asking Musa to do, is to set up for them a similar situation so they can do the same action. So this is what Musa, he told them, warning them, reprimanding them, and clarifying that this is ignorance. They have ignorance of the very right of Allah Azza wa Jal and the foundation of their religion, and that these people are upon falsehood, and that which they do is invalidated, and they will be punished severely for this great crime that they are perpetrating, any reprimanding Banu Israel. Reprimanding Banu Israel. As for the narration with regards to the Sahaba, and then this is what has been collected by At-Tirmidhi, and likewise Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala, with a chain that is authentic from the hadith of Abi Waqidin Al-Layfi radiyallahu anhu, that he says, Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lamma kharaja ila Hunayn marra bi shajaratin lil mushrikeen yuqalu lahu dhatu anwaat. So he says that whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left out for the battle of Hunayn, he passed by a tree that the pagans they had, and it's called Dhatu Anwaat. Dhatu Anwaat. So the battle of Hunayn was in the month of Shawwal, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, after the conquest of Mecca. So there were individuals, many individuals at this time who had accepted Islam in the end of Ramadan, at the conquest of Mecca, or after that, briefly in the beginning of Shawwal. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left out for this great military excursion, and he went to Hunayn, there was a great multitude of people along with him. There was a great multitude of people along with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, first and foremost, no doubt, and those who had been Muslim for some time, also a vast number of people that are known as Muslimatu al-Fitr, and those individuals who accepted Islam just in those days, in those weeks. And maybe there are not a Muslim, except for a few days, or at most maybe a month, at the time of making this excursion. And there are some wordings clarifying this, and Abu Waqidin radiallahu anhu, is from those who accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca, just briefly before this event that is occurring here. It says, "Kharajna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nahnu hudatha'u 'ahdin bi kufr," that we left out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are just recently leaving disbelief. We had just recently left disbelief. So this story, and that which is occurring in this story from some of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, this is in reference to those noble companions who had accepted Islam in this period here. Just briefly, they're new Muslims, maybe only a few days or a couple of weeks, or at most possibly a month, that they have been a Muslim and from the companions. So they're new to their religion, and they're learning the Tawheed. So this is the story here. لَمَّا خَرَجَ إِلَى حُنَيْنِ, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out for the battle of Hunayn. Again, this is after the conquest of Mecca in the month of Shawwal. The conquest of Mecca was in which year? In the 8th year. In which month? In Ramadan. And the month after Ramadan is Shawwal. This is the period that we're discussing now. This is from the events of this period in the biography of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, "Marra bi shajaratin lil mushrikeena yuqalu laha dhatu anwaat," and he passed by a tree that the pagans they had, the mushrikun they had, and it's called dhatu anwaat. And in the wording of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he says, "Famararna bi sidratin khadra azima, bi sidratin khadra azima." He said, "And we passed by a tree, a great green tree. And here in this wording in At-Tirmidhi, it's called Dhatu Anwaat. And the Mushrikun, they had a tree called Dhatu Anwaat. Anwaat is the plural of Naut. And Naut, yani al-ta'liq, yani to yanutu shay'an, yani yu'alliquhu, to tie something or to hang something, and to hang something from something. So this called the one for hanging, and the tree that they would hang their weapons on. So they كانوا ينطون أسلحتهم بها. They used to hang their weapons on this tree. يعلقون عليها أسلحتهم. The mushrikun, they had a tree. It's called ذات أنوالت. It means the one that is hung on. You need some one for hanging. So they would hang their weapons there, and they believed that the tree was full of blessing, and that blessing would go onto their weapons if they hang it there, and then they remain there in devotion, and they remain there in worship and servitude for some time. The blessing of that tree would transfer to their weapons, and their weapons would be stronger and more beneficial and better for battle and for war. So they're making urkuf likewise, and they're remaining at this tree with their weapons hanging there for this reason and for this creed, believing that the tree is full of blessing, and that the blessing of that tree will go onto their weapons, and then they will have strength in their battles, and they will have benefit in their wars in this manner, and blessing for their weapons in this way. So this is the affair. Abu Waqidin radiallahu anhu, he says, so we passed by a great green tree in the same manner. So they say, we passed by a great green tree, and it was green and alive. And they says, faqalu, and they said, faqalu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ij'al lana dhata anwaatin kama lahum dhatu anwaat. And so they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make for us a tree we can hang our weapons on like they have a tree to hang their weapons on. Make for us a tree to hang our weapons on like they have a tree for them to hang their weapons on. Faqala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, glorified is Allah, high above any defect or deficiency. Hada kama qala qawmu Musa. He said, this is exactly what the people of Musa, they said. This is exactly what the people of Musa, they said to him. Ij'alana ilahan kama lahum aliha. Make for us an object of worship, a god, an ilah, as they have gods. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبَلَكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, indeed you're going to follow the ways of those before you. Indeed you're going to follow the ways of those before you. So here likewise, mushrikun, their paganism and their idolatry that they're performing here is their creed in this tree. And likewise, they're hanging their weapons in this tree in this manner. And they have this creed and this belief. So the companions, some of them here, they requested to have the same thing, to do the same thing. They requested to have the same thing and to do the same thing. So the shirk that is occurring here in this story is hanging weapons on the tree, believing that the tree will bless the weapons in this manner. And what these companions here, radiallahu anhum, they're doing, they're requesting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to allow them to do the same thing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry, and he mentioned that this is the same thing that Banu Israel said to Musa. What was Banu Israel doing? What happened with them? They seen people, they had gods. They had objects of worship besides Allah that they were in devotion to. They're directing some worship to these idols. Whenever Banu Israel, they requested from Musa to allow them to do the same thing, then Musa, he became angry and refuted them and reprimanded them and warned them from this affair. And alhamdulillah, they took the reprimand and they desisted and did not proceed. So it was from the blessing of Allah upon them that their Prophet advised them and guided them. And had they proceeded upon that way and made the uquf around the Aliha or set up another god besides Allah, they would have disbelieved. But because Musa advised them and warned them and reprimanded them, they desisted. They did not perform that action that they were looking for, that they were requesting. So therefore, they did not disbelieve. And likewise, the companions here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this is the same thing that the people of Musa, they said to Musa, and he make for us an ilah, meaning that these pagans, they had taken that tree as an object of worship besides Allah, hanging the weapons in this manner with this creed that is corrupt. And likewise, because of the favor and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon them, with the advice and admonishment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those noble companions did not proceed, and they did not take a tree nor hang their weapons on anything in this manner, whether they were reprimanded and they accepted the advice, and they took the reprimand and they desisted from that. But there is no doubt that had Banu Israel not listened to the advice, and had they continued and persisted in ignorance and taken an object of worship and made rukuf and devotion in that manner, they would have disbelieved. they would have disbelieved. And likewise, there's no doubt as well that had the companions, had those companions denied the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and continued regardless upon that way and hung weapons on a tree in this manner, then they would have disbelieved. But just as the advice of Musa benefited his followers alayhi salam, likewise the advice and admonishment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam benefited his followers alayhi salatu wasalam. We understand the issue. The picture is clear. Alhamdulillah. So did the Banu Israel disbelieve? They did not disbelieve. Why not? Because they did not perform the action. The shirk that's happening is urkuf. This is an action. So they're requesting to do that. So it's as if they're seeking an istiftah, as if they're asking for the permissibility. And to make for us, let's do the same thing like they're doing. So whenever they made this request, and not to mention that it was upon ignorance and a misunderstanding, they made that request, but they did not fulfill. They did not proceed. They did not perform. And they were reprimanded and they desisted immediately. And they desisted immediately. So therefore, they did not disbelieve. Walillahi alhamd. And likewise, the same thing with the companions here. Those who requested this from those new Muslims, they also requested this affair, but they did not know the true reality of what they're requesting. And whenever they were reprimanded, they desisted and did not proceed. So the action of hanging weapons on the tree did not occur from them. Rather, this is something that they had requested, and they thinking that it was pleasing to Allah, but little did they know it was wrong and contrary, and actually from the greatest things they will anger Allah. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded them, they desisted and they left that affair. They desisted and they left that affair. So had they performed that action, then they would have disbelieved. But they did not, alhamdulillah, because of the blessing of the advice and admonishment of these two noble prophets. We understand the issue. It's very clear. Anybody have a question about that? Alhamdulillah. So now the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's going to explain this issue. So he says, وَلَكِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شُبْهَةٌ يُدْلُونَ بِهَا عِنْدَ هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ. But the pagans, the polytheists, and what he means here, the grave worshippers, those who worship the awliya besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and they call on the graves besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they have a doubt that they present with regards to this story. وَهِيَ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِذَلِكَ. And it's because they say the children of Israel, they didn't disbelieve whenever they did this. وَكَذَلِكَ الَّذِينَ سَأَلُوا النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ ذَاتَ أَنْوَاطٍ لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا. And likewise, those companions, رضي الله عنهم, who asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to make for them a tree to hang their weapons on, they didn't disbelieve either. They didn't disbelieve either. Yani they're saying that how are you using this narration, how are you using this verse and this narration against us as a proof that a person who makes the shahada and he makes the testimony la ilaha illallah and the testimony Muhammad Rasulullah, and he establishes some of the outward rites of Islam, that he would disbelieve, that he can disbelieve after belief. You're trying to tell us that this is evidence here for someone who makes the shahada and performs the outward rites of Islam, that he would disbelieve. Because still the issue here is that they claim that someone who makes the shahada, he will not disbelieve. So long as he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And then on top of that, he's praying and giving charity and he's fasting and making hajj. How can you declare him to be a disbeliever? This is still the same doubt. So all those clear evidences and proofs and refutations that we have mentioned before is established here in the same issue. But now even more specifically with this affair. So they're saying now, you're using this as an evidence for this subject and for this topic and for this issue, but they did not even disbelieve in the first place. They didn't disbelieve in the first place. We understand their doubt. So they're trying to say, so this is actually a proof for us then, right? That they can do the likes of these affairs, that we can, it's okay for us to call on the grave and to make urkufa at the grave and to call and the likes like this, because they didn't disbelieve whenever they did that. They didn't disbelieve whenever they did that, right? But what, just for the benefit of the doubt, we will say, but did they proceed and do that? No, they didn't do that. Did their prophet allow them to do that, or did he become angry with that? He became very angry with that. Whenever people from your people do that, do you become angry about that? No, they don't become angry about that. Do you encourage that? Yes, they encourage that. Did those prophets encourage? No, they didn't encourage that. Did they allow that? No, they didn't allow that. They forbade that. So the situation is much different. And it's very clear, alhamdulillah, this is from those weak doubts that they have, but to be upon certain and clear knowledge and insight. So the Shaykh, he says, فَالْجَوَابِ The response, أَن تَقُولْ إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ وَكَذَلِكَ الَّذِينَ سَأَلُوا النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ So the response is that you say to them that the children of Israel, they didn't do that. And that those who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, likewise, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. Again, to emphasize, those who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not the companions, all of them, rather a group of them, from those who had accepted Islam just recently in the previous days. From them, Abu Waqidin al-Layfi radiyallahu anhu, sahib al-qissah, the one who's telling us the story. So this is what he's saying. You tell them, but they didn't do that. Neither one of them performed the action. وَلَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَوْ فَأَلُوا ذَلِكَ لَكَفَرُوا وَكَذَلِكَ لَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ الَّذِينَ نَهَاهُمْ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَكَذَلِكَ لَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ الَّذِينَ نَهَاهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَوْ لَمْ يُطِيعُوهُ وَاتَّخَذُوا ذَاتَ أَنْوَاطٍ بَعْدَ نَهْيِهِ لَكَفَرُوا And there's no doubt that the children of Israel, if they had done that, then they would have disbelieved. And likewise, there's no difference that those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade them and prohibited them from doing that, had they not obeyed him and had they taken a tree in that manner for hanging their weapons in that way, after his prohibition had come sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they would have disbelieved. Then they would have disbelieved. This is clear? وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ And this is what we're looking for. And this is what we're looking for. What does he mean by that? What are we looking for? This is the shahid. What do you mean? Explain. You're right. That's the shahid. This is the point. This is what we're looking for. That a person, a Muslim, like the children of Israel, or like the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, possibly he would disbelieve. And had they performed that action, they would have disbelieved. Had they performed that action, they would have disbelieved. So they didn't perform the action, so they didn't disbelieve. But had they performed the action, then they would have disbelieved. Then they would have disbelieved. If they would have taken gods besides Allah Azza wa Jal, like those mushrikun who had gods, and then they devoted themselves to those gods, then Banu Israel would have disbelieved in this matter. But they didn't do that, alhamdulillah. And had those companions taken a tree and hung their weapons there in that manner, seeking blessing and barakah from that tree in that manner, like those pagans, they would have disbelieved. They would have disbelieved, but they didn't do that. So this is the point of the whole story, that it's very possible that someone who was a Muslim, rather a follower of a prophet, if he were to commit an action of disbelief, then he would disbelieve. If he were to commit an action of disbelief, then he would disbelieve. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the very messengers themselves, the best of the people, that had they committed shirk, then they would disbelieve. That had they committed shirk, they would disbelieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned a number of prophets and messengers in one context. And then he says, ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَلَوْ أَشْرَقُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah azza wa jalla, he mentioned 18 prophets in a row. Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am. Also in Surah Al-Nisa, he mentioned several of them in a row as well. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ After mentioning them, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the guidance of Allah, he guides whom he wills from his slaves. وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا يعني هؤلاء الأنبياء وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And had they committed shirk, then everything they have done would be invalidated. And this is the outcome of a disbeliever. The actions will be invalidated. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the same affair, and also even emphasizing likewise included in that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Allah, he says to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed it was revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to those before you from the previous prophets and messengers. This is something that Allah, he revealed
to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as well as those previous prophets. Each one of them had received this revelation, this admonishment, and this advice. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ أَمَلُكَ. If you were to make shirk, if you were to devote an action of worship to other than Allah, then your deeds will be invalidated and you will be from the losers. And you will be from the losers. بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Rather, Allah alone you must worship and devote yourself to, and be from those who are thankful, and be from those who are thankful. So if a prophet is mentioned in this manner, and the prophets and messengers, they're safeguarded, and this is to emphasize the dangers of this affair. If a prophet were to make shirk, to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, to direct an action of worship or devotion to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he would disbelieve and all of his deeds would be invalidated. Then likewise the followers of the prophets, just as we see here. And if that's the case for the prophets and messengers, alayhim wa salatu wa salam, and even likewise the followers of the prophets and messengers, alayhim wa salatu wa salam, then how about those who come from the later generations? More rightful that if they were to commit an action of disbelief and to direct an action of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then they would leave Islam, even if they say the Shahada. So these evidences and proofs and refutations have preceded a number of points, seven of them, one after the other, to clarify that there is an issue of Ar-Riddah. And this is a well-known affair, the issue of apostasy, and that just as there are rights to establish Islam, there are affairs that if one were to perform them, those rights would be invalidated in entirety, and a person who will leave the fold of Islam. And they occur by statement, by action, by creed, and by doubt. By statement, by action, by creed, and by doubt. And we discuss these issues, alhamdulillah, in detail. So this is the matlub. This is what we're looking for. We're trying to clarify for them that if a person, he committed an action in this manner, then he will leave the fold of Islam. He will leave the fold of Islam. Had they taken idols and made rukuf around them like those pagans, then they would be like those pagans, because they're doing the same thing for the same reason. They have the same creed and the same action, so therefore they take the same ruling. And likewise, had those companions, they taken the tree in that manner, then they would have performed the same action, and therefore they will have the same ruling. They will leave Islam in this manner, and instead of being considered from the believers, they'll be considered from the pagans, because they're doing the actions of the pagans contrary to Al-Islam. So they'll have the rulings of the pagans, not the ruling of Al-Islam. Likewise, the one who cursed Allah Azza wa Jal, this will take him out of Islam. Likewise, the one who mocked or mimicked the religion, or somebody who kicked the mushaf with his foot, or threw the mushaf in the trash, wa'iyadhu billah, like it's nothing. He will leave Islam, even if he said the shahada all day long, even if he was fasting while he did that, even if he's fasting and saying the shahada at that moment, and he's kicking the mushaf across the floor. He's a disbeliever. His shahada will not be accepted. His fast will not be accepted. All of his actions will be invalidated. That will not benefit him whatsoever. Understand that. That's very clear. That's very clear. So there are things that a person may do that will cause him to leave Islam. That's why it's so important to have knowledge. Knowledge of the details of Tawheed. Knowledge of the details of Tawheed. So now this is what the author is going to mention. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, ولكن هذه القصة تفيد أن المسلم بل العالم قد يقع في أنواع من الشرك في أنواع من الشرك لا يدري أنها. He says, this story here, it benefits us that we see that a Muslim, rather a scholar, could possibly fall into different types of shirk and not even know. This story here is clarifying, and from the benefits that we benefit from this story here is that a Muslim, rather a person of knowledge, rather someone who's considered a scholar, possibly he may fall into different types of shirk while he doesn't even know. And he's someone who is a scholar, maybe a fiqh, or a scholar maybe of the Arabic language, or a scholar maybe of a particular science, or a scholar maybe of mustalah hadith, or a scholar maybe of usul al-fiqh, somebody who is a scholar of jurisprudence or Islamic law, anything in general, the action, somebody who focused on these other sciences and was negligent with regards to the details of the science of aqidah and the science of tawheed. Maybe he's considered a scholar, a subject that he specializes in, but because of a lack of concern or care or diligence to learn the details of the creed, the proper creed, and the purification of the tawheed and the sincere and true faith, he may fall into actions of shirk and not even know. He may fall into actions and different types of shirk and not even know. And this is clear here. The followers of Musa alayhi salam, they're the people of knowledge in those days. And the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're the people of knowledge in those days. But along with that, here, these issues, they were unaware of them. They were unaware of them. And they could have fallen in shirk had they not had the blessing and guidance of their Prophet in that time. So he says, وَتُفِيدُ تَعَدُمَ وَالتَّحَرُّزُ. Also from the benefits of this story as well. He's mentioning five benefits here related to this story. Five benefits here related to the story. Also from the benefits is, وَتُفِيدُ يعني هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ تَعَلُّمَ وَالتَّحَرُّزُ. The obligation of learning. The obligation of learning and likewise taking precaution. You have to learn and you have to take precaution. It's incumbent to learn the details of التوحيد. To learn the details of at-tawheed and likewise the details of that which will invalidate the tawheed. Because there are affairs that will invalidate the tawheed. And also to learn the details of that which will weaken the tawheed and bring deficiency to the tawheed. Because the tawheed, it must be established, but it can be weakened and deficiency can be brought to the tawheed and it can become tainted. And likewise it can be invalidated from its foundation. And likewise, it can be invalidated from his foundation. So we have to learn it in detail. So in general, a person, he can learn and study Tawheed and hear the clarification in just a few moments. But the details of that are many. And the completion and perfection of that is in many different aspects. And this takes a long time to learn all of the different aspects of how the Tawheed is established properly. And how it is violated likewise, and how it is weakened, and how it can be uprooted from its foundation. Shirk occurs in many different ways, many different aspects. It's not only prostrating before an idol. Rather, there's many different aspects of how the Tawheed could be weakened, or deficiency could be brought to it, or it could be invalidated. Many aspects of this affair. So it's incumbent to learn and to be diligent to learn, and likewise to take precaution. With tahruz, I need to take precaution from shirk and to look out for that, for a person to take oneself to account and to not feel safe from shirk, any from major shirk nor minor shirk, to not feel safe from shirk, not major shirk nor minor shirk. He says, "Wa ma'rifata anna qawl al-jahil at-tawhidu fahamnahu anna hadha min akbar al-jahl wa makayid ash-shaytan." Also, this story brings us the benefit of knowing the statement of the ignorant one. At-tawheed, we understand it. At-tawheed, we understand it. And this is what some of them, they say until this day. Tawheed, we understand it. Why you keep talking about tawheed all the time? Tawheed. All you guys talk about is tawheed. We already understand it. Let's talk about something else. Talk about mustalah hadith. Talk about this. Talk about usul al-fiqh. Talk about that. Why you keep tawheed? We understand that part. So he says, the statement of the ignorant one who says this, أَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْجَاهِلِ وَمَكَايِدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is from the greatest aspect of ignorance and from the greatest traps of the devil. And those who do this are two types of people. One of them, he's the enemy of التوحيد. The enemies of التوحيد, they'll say the likes of this, from those who claim and ascribe to al-Islam, they're the enemies of it. Tawheed, why do you keep going into detail? You can learn Tawheed in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's finished. Why you Tawheed? So, Rububiyya, Uluhiyya, Asma'i, Wasifiyya, khalas, you're done. Khalas, Allah is the creator. That's it, you're done. You don't need any more. And in order to turn the people away from Tawheed so that he can pull them into his trap and entangle them in his snares and confuse them and misguide them and then use them and abuse them for his own personal games and aims. Waliyadha billah. For his own personal games and aims. Waliyadha billah. Like the Sufiya they do and the Rafidah. Waliyadha billah. So the enemies of Islam, this is from their statements. Why Tawheed? Why? We already understand that part. What do you need to talk about something else? The other type of person that says this is like he's saying here, the ignorant person. Maybe he doesn't realize what he's saying. He's an ignorant individual and he has no true knowledge of what he's talking about. And he has maybe heard some doubts or misconceptions or lended an ear and entertained the speech of the likes of these enemies of Islam, believing that they are the great Islamic thinkers of the day, or that there are great scholars and the likes like this. And then he says what they say. So this is falsehood and this is not correct, or the tawheed is something that requires detail, it requires time, it requires effort, it requires care, and that even the tawheed, it can be strong and purified, and then if a person is not careful, it can become tainted and become weak. It can become tainted and become weak. And if it's not taken care of, it can go away in entirety. So to learn the tawheed and to study and to review it, it is a lifetime experience. A person, he must do that for his entire life, studying the tawheed and reviewing the tawheed and applying the tawheed and purifying the tawheed for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. No doubt learning the other sciences is also likewise important, but those sciences will not benefit a person if his tawheed is invalidated. And this is the point. Number four, the fourth benefit, تُفِيدُ أَيْضًا أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ الْمُجْتَهِدَ أَلَّذِي إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلَامٍ كُفْرٍ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي فَنُبِّهَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَتَابَ مِنْ سَاعَتِهِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَكْفُرُ كَمَا فَعَلَ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَالَّذِينَ سَأَلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he says now, the fourth benefit that we derive from this story is that a Muslim who was making ijtihad, and a Muslim who is making ijtihad, he's doing something on his own, thinking that it's the right thing to do. And in doing that, he makes a statement of disbelief while he does not know. Then he is advised and is brought to his attention that this is a statement of disbelief, and he repented at that moment, then he will not disbelieve. Then he will not disbelieve. This indicates that a Muslim who made a statement of disbelief while not knowing, he's thinking that it's the right statement to say, and then, or he's thinking that it's something good, and he made that statement, and then somebody brought it to his attention immediately, and he said, Astaghfirullah. Then he did not disbelieve in this manner. He'll be excused in this case for that ignorance, and the fact that he, whenever he was advised, immediately he accepted it and realized that he turned away and desisted. For example, if someone were to be tried by some people with regards to the grave worshippers, to be tried by the grave worshippers, and then he thought to himself and he said to his friend, you know what, let's go to that grave, let's go there and make dua, let's go there and call on him, I got some problems. And then he said, you know, that shirk, audhu billah, that shirk, how are you going to go to the grave and call on the one in the grave? He's dead in the first place. He couldn't even save himself from him. And he said, astaghfirullah. He's brought up about that, right? Then he will not disbelieve with that statement, or somebody else who made another statement from the likes of this. But we have seen previously, what is not included in that is cursing Allah Azza wa Jalla. This one is very clear that this is disbelief and not allowed. So a person, he has no excuse for that. He cursed Allah Azza wa Jalla, he must repent immediately. This is well known, alhamdulillah. But if somebody on ijtihad, there's no ijtihad, you can curse Allah. Now that somebody on ijtihad, he had a misconception, and then he made a statement that's a statement of disbelief, and then somebody advised him, oh, that's not right, brother, barakallahu fik. And then he said, oh, astaghfirullah. He says, أَنَّهُ لَا يَكْفُرُ كَمَا فَعَلَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَالَّذِينَ سَأَلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He will not disbelieve like those from the children of Israel and those who asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the fifth benefit, وَتُفِيدُ أَيْضًا أَنَّهُ لَوْ لَمْ يَكْفُرْ فَإِنَّهُ يُغَلَّظُ عَلَيْهِ الْكَلَامُ تَغْلِيظًا شَدِيدًا يُغَلَّظُ عَلَيْهِ الْكَلَامُ تَغْلِيظًا شَدِيدًا كَمَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The fifth benefit is that even if this person didn't disbelieve, then he will be spoken to harshly. And he will be spoken to harshly. He will not be left in this affair, or would not be considered something light. And the fact that we're saying, no, he didn't disbelieve, And we're giving him the excuse in this situation. Along with that, he'll be reprimanded, and even reprimanded in a harsh manner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi, I swear wallahi nafsi biyadi. I swear by the one whose my soul is in his." You said the same thing Banu Israel said. I mean, they're seeking an ij'al lana aliha. He said the same thing they're saying. And then he said, He became angry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's harsh and firm and clear and direct and taking the affair very seriously, very seriously. So in the likes of these situations, this is what is required. So no doubt, teaching the ignorant and the likes that we have seen in many classes is the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to do that in a gentle manner, and to do that in a kind way. A person who makes a mistake, A person who makes a mistake, like the one who was talking in the prayer, or like the one who was passing urine in the masjid, akramakum Allah, and the likes like this. He is taught gently. He's clarified in a good manner. But when it gets severe like this, and people are requesting actions of disbelief and shirk, now the reprimand becomes serious. And now the issue becomes grave because of the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here, this is something you don't play with. This is here, this is something you take very seriously right away, and you cut it off from its roots, and you clarify the dangers of that. That way, the person, he'll remember forever. He'll remember that circumstance. Whenever we said this, whenever we got close to violating the Tawheed, it became very serious. The situation got very hot. He was not happy. He was very upset. So they remember that. They remember that, and they'll take a reprimand from that, and they will, inshallah, never fall back into the likes of these affairs. And we say here, yani, that he was very stern, very harsh, but likewise, yani, with wisdom and not with emotions. And he sincerely for the sake of Allah. And harshness, when it's put in its proper place, then it is beauty. Then it is beauty and it is mercy. Harshness, when it's put in its proper place, then it is beauty and it is mercy. And it's the right and correct thing. So the foundation is to deal with these people, to deal with the ignorant in mercy. But there are certain circumstances whenever it's required to be firm. Required to be firm. And from that is whenever we're dealing with the issues of at-tawheed in this manner like this, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he mentions another doubt that they have similar to the same issue, and we take it in our class to come, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.